Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and once a week here on Radio Boston, we take some time to break down and review the story of the week. This week it's transportation. It has been a rough go for the T since the tragic Red Line accident last month.
They say a man got his arm caught in the train's door, and he was dragged as the train left Broadway Station.
The train involved is an older one built in 1969-1970.
The T's general manager is defending the system as safe, even as federal transportation officials raise some serious questions.
And those questions are being asked by the Federal Transit Administration. News breaking this week that the FTA is investigating safety concerns at the T. Now, that's something Governor Baker sees as a positive.
I actually welcome the FTA.
And all of that on top of some serious financial trouble.
The agency is on the edge of a financial cliff.
We've had a bit of a reprieve, but I think doomsday is finally coming.
Thanks to NBC 10 and WCVB Channel 5 for some of that sound, so let's dig into it. Jim Aloisi is a former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and a board member of the group Transit Matters, which advocates for better, more reliable public transit. Jim, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So earlier this week, just after the FTA news came out, you tweeted a tweet string. That's a hard thing for me to say. Tweet string. We're not going to do that one again. And you started with, quote, "I have great confidence the T is safe," end quote. So why start there? Why did you want to say, hey, it's still safe to ride? It suggests that people think it's not safe to ride.
I think that people can get that impression, which I think is wrong impression. And I think that those of us who care deeply about public transportation in Metro Boston and who advocate for a better system need to stress at the outset that we think it's safe. I mean, I take the T regularly, almost daily. So from a personal perspective, I find it safe. And I think we have to take into account that we've got a large old system and things will happen, and the things that happen, obviously, we would like not to have happened, but that doesn't necessarily translate into saying the T is unsafe. Look, there are on average 12 to 15 automobile collisions in Boston every single day. The last data I saw statewide goes back a couple of years to 2020. In 2020, in Massachusetts, 286 people were killed in automobile crashes, right? 76,000 crashes. We don't hear anybody saying that the highway system's unsafe, stop using it. In fact, we use it more often now, unfortunately, than we have in the past. So a lot of it is perspective. And I think that those of us who want to make sure that the T is the safest it can be, want to say at the outset that it is safe.
All right. So, because I don't want to create a drumbeat of it's not safe, it's not safe, it's not safe, right? So that's not what I'm doing in this follow-up question. And yet I do want to flag that we have had a number of serious, we've had two deaths, a number of serious injuries, multiple investigations, the Green Line crash last year, the tragic death of Robinson Lallon earlier this month by the NTSB. It does feel like a string of physically dangerous outcomes for T riders over the last year or so.
I think that's right. And I think that it's a good thing that we have now through the FTA going to have a renewed focus on safety. The former T board, the Fiscal Management and Control Board, as you know, back in 2019, knew that safety needed to be addressed in a much more specific and holistic way. They put a panel of experts together. They had a report. And it was pretty clear then that the T needed to step up its game. And they hired a highly regarded fellow to run the safety program. They've got some good people there doing this. But, and here's the big but. The but is that we have a system that is old, that has equipment that's way past its useful life, in my judgment. We have a problem in terms of systems and signals that need repair. And we have had decades upon decades of disinvestment in the T. Now, this administration.
So I'm going to stop you there, right, only because I want to get to all these subjects and I want to kind of be able to handle them one at a time. So let's go back. You just mentioned the FTA. We started with that. So let's pick up there before we go to budget. All right. And yesterday, Governor Baker joined us here in Studio 2. I asked him about the FTA, the announcement. You know, the letter came from the FTA to the T last month. We learned about it after Boston Globe reporting this week. I asked him about it. Here he is.
What the FDA will bring, among other things, is a lot of information and a lot of knowledge about what the rest of the country does and how other systems manage some of their older lines and their older units. And and I think, in the grand scheme of things, a focus on sort of core operations and that sort of thing, especially with an organization that's actually seen a lot more than sort of certainly anybody has at the T, is a good thing.
And I want to hit that good thing, and I'm going to note you're on the board of Transit Matters. They put out a statement this week basically saying not a good thing. But where I want to start is put it in perspective for us. How big a deal is it that the FTA is coming to Massachusetts to look at the MBTA this way?
It's a big deal. What we don't know is how big a deal. And so if it's the same big deal that occurred a few years ago in Washington, D.C.
The only other time the FTA has done this since they got the authority in 2012, right?
Correct. If it's that kind of big deal, then it's a serious problem, I believe, for public transportation. It may not be. So the first step in the process is for the FTA to do what it said it's doing in its letter, which is to begin what they call a safety management inspection of the T's operations and maintenance programs. That takes roughly, well, in Washington, when they did that, it took about 4 months. So they have to begin, and what I don't know, because I don't think it's been disclosed yet, is whether that safety management inspection has actually begun. But whenever it begins, let's say it will take around 4 months, if it follows the Washington pattern, to be accomplished. When that's finished, then there'll be a decision made about whether the T is able to handle the findings on its own or with additional oversight. And it's that question of additional oversight and who is providing the oversight and what are the terms and conditions that can be really troublesome. Because in Washington, it basically took away from the Washington system the power and authority to direct the safety program, put it in the hands of a what they call a state safety oversight agency.
Basically like receivership, right, Jim?
Yes, for that piece of the puzzle. And what concerns me, and I think many transit advocates, is that what will happen in that worst case scenario, and I want to stress, we don't know that this will be the result, but if it is that result, what happens is the FTA issues what they call safety directives. And they basically say, you must do this, you must do that. Those are generally, from an operations perspective, going to be unfunded mandates, okay? That's the problem. The problem will become whether the FTA's safety directives put such a strain on the MBTA's already constrained operating budget that it creates a fiscal problem, the likes of which we haven't seen before, that threatens to push aside many of the worthwhile initiatives that most of us who care about public transportation want to see put into place over the next half dozen years.
Okay, here's a little sound from earlier this week. This is General Manager Steve Poftak, who was talking about being open to FTA feedback and recommendations. That's not the same as this sort of pseudo-receivership we were just talking about. He pointed out that the T is, that they've been putting in millions of dollars on safety. So this is a press conference on Tuesday at the Talbot Avenue commuter rail stop in Dorchester.
We can't rule out everything, but we are doing a tremendous amount of work. We're making a massive investment in modernizing the system and making it as safe as it possibly can be.
Now, you have talked a lot. I've been hosting here at Radio Boston for about 3 years now, and we've had a number of conversations over that time where you have raise concerns about just general lack of funding to get behind the kinds of investments that need to be made for short-term and long-term. Earlier this week in that Twitter thread, You were concerned that state lawmakers on Beacon Hill are, quote, kicking the can down the road, end quote, when it comes to funding. So do we have enough money in the system?
No. And I think it's important for me to quickly explain that the MBTA budget, people need to think about it as two standalone components. There's an operating budget and there's a capital budget. Now, it is true that the funding in the capital budget and the spending out of the capital budget, which is basically the budget that is used for building stuff, fixing stuff, it's the construction and repair budget, that has been more robust than ever before, and they're certainly making use of it. But you can't hire the kind of personnel that you need to manage projects, to do the kinds of training and the kinds of things that are directly related to safety and efficiency without a robust operating budget. It's the operating budget that pays the salaries and the fringe.
It's the day-to-day expenses.
The day-to-day expenses. The T has already said that they're expecting a $230 million shortfall next June in that budget. Now, the last fiscal report out of the T, which happened to come a day or so, is a lot more optimistic in terms of projections. And so I'm not expecting that shortfall at this point to be that high. However, if you begin to add FTA mandates, if that's where we're heading with the FTA, for more training, more project management personnel, more safety personnel, that's all going to come out of an operating budget that's groaning under the weight of having lost fair revenue as a result of the pandemic, fair revenue that's not coming back anytime soon. And I have called consistently on the legislature to please understand that they can't sit back and wait for a miracle to happen. And I think too many people, frankly, at the State House think that miracle will happen because the millionaire's tax will pass or because the federal government will step in. The federal government doesn't pay a dime toward operating costs. They haven't since 1980, and they're not going to start now.
So,
and the millionaire's tax is not the silver bullet that some people hope and expect it will be.
So, Jim, what I'm going to do here, because I do want to give us a second to talk about gas prices before we wrap, but I want to play you, and this is a little bit of a long cut from my conversation with Governor Baker about the MBTA yesterday, but I feel like it sums up his whole position. So here it is.
I said when I took office and we had that horrible winter that I was going to make sure that the T had resources to spend on investing in its core system. That's not where most people in public life want to spend money. They want to spend it on expansions and this and that, because that's where the public, you know, visibility is. A lot of the money that the T has spent over the past 7 or 8 years, you can't even see. But the bottom line is replacing all the tracks, replacing systems, replacing electronics, signals, switches, power systems. That's where the big opportunity to improve the quality of the service and the performance comes from. And it's not a place where you get much political benefit at all.
So just in a sentence, as a former transportation secretary, do you agree?
I don't agree fully. And I would say to the governor, with all due respect, yes. He has insisted on a focus on those particulars. But let me be clear. A safe system with fewer riders, a safe system that runs on an inequitable and an unsustainable fare policy, a safe system that fails to provide a high level of service quality and service frequency throughout the day is not the kind of public transportation system that the people of Metro Boston deserve or expect. And it's not the kind of public transportation system that will help us recover sustainably and equitably from the pandemic.
All right. Before I let you go, I want to talk about gas prices for a second. Massachusetts set a new record high, not once, but at least four times this week as of yesterday. According to AAA Today, the regular gallon price for gas is $4.48, rounded up. You served in the Deval Patrick administration. You were transportation secretary in 2009. We were in a recession. Any lessons from them that should be applied now as our commuters who are not on, I mean, even the T's over budget on fuel. So as people who are getting from point A to point B face these prices.
Well, there's very little that the state can do about it because the high prices in gasoline have nothing to do with state action, right? They're not related to the state gas tax by any stretch. This is all about market forces, global market forces, and domestic market forces that have driven those costs up. That includes the response of oil drilling in the United States and it by OPEC countries in the aftermath of the drop in driving following the pandemic, right? They have yet to ramp it up. They meaning OPEC in particular, wants to stabilize the market for their own profit. In the United States, companies that were doing a lot of drilling reduced that during the pandemic. So unfortunately, public policy is not going to be able to do much about the cost of gas at the pump.
All right. That is Jim Aloisi, former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and a board member of the group Transit Matters, which advocates for better, more reliable public transit, and a pretty regular commentator on the all things transit for us. Jim, appreciate you helping us run down that story this week.
I hope it was helpful, Tatiana. Have a great weekend.
Very much so. You too.